and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. It's a Friday down here in Florida. A lot of stuff going on, as always. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, doing absolutely wonderful. I've got a story here. You guys are going to probably wonder about why I'm bringing it up as a world-breaking story, and I guess it really isn't a world-breaking story, but it's a story I want to start with today, and you'll understand here just in a second, because I've told you this multiple times, and now I'm going to just reiterate it. 1,800-year-old Roman mosaic is discovered in Israel at the Caesarea National Park. The mosaic dates to between the 2nd and 3rd centuries A.D., Another building was also found that is believed what we've known as the shopping mall. The excavation part of the reconstruction project at the entrance bridge to the park and the promenade of the town is at the Zarg Park. The Israel Antiquities Authority says the reconstruction project is the largest ever undertaken in Israel, costing $28 million. Now get ready, here we go. The Edmund D. Rothschild Foundation is underwriting the project. Old Caesarea never stops surprising and fascinating and thrilling us time after time, revealing slices of history worldwide, says Guy Gursky, the vice chairman of the Edmund D. Rothschild Foundation. So, like I said, Israel is the fiefdom of the Rothschild Empire, and they like to prove that when they do things like this. I just thought I'd start with that story and get a little laugh out of everybody to start with and let you know who's really controlling and what's really going on in Israel. Now, this is another interesting article about Israel. Israel is now suing New Zealand, the New Zealanders, the people in New Zealand, for free speech in New Zealand. In other words, the people in New Zealand are saying things that Israel doesn't like, so they're suing them from Israel. Israel is suing two New Zealanders for exercising freedom of speech inside their own country while in New Zealand. The pair posted an open letter on blog to Lore, the pop singer who was born in New Zealand, requesting that she boycott her scheduled concert in Israel because Palestinians are denied equal rights with Israelis and often denied basic services like food and water and sewage. Israel passed a law in 2011 that criminalizes the advocacy of boycotting its businesses. And that's something we've also had many. We've had several states now pass laws against boycotting Israel goods in the United States. The government now is moving beyond its borders and seeking to punish the boycotters in their own countries as well. That is, the Israeli government would seek protections of its own commerce, and understandable that other governments would not protect the freedom of speech and its own citizens is bizarre. Guys, so now they're being sued in New Zealand for freedom of speech by Israel because they're exercising their freedom of speech in their own country. What do you think about this, Austin, and what's your first story?
It's rather comical. The double standard that Israel almost always displays is rather humorous. It really is, as far as they pretty much demand that everybody do what they say all the time. They demand countries give them money like the United States. I remember I got a chuckle out of it a year and a half ago when basically Netanyahu and Israel came to the table in the United States and basically demanded that the United States increase our foreign aid from $40 billion to $50 billion that we give them because they said so. No legitimate purpose, no need, no absolute reason at all, simply because they said so. That shows you right there who runs the United States. And, of course, we capitulated, increased our foreign aid to them for no reason at all, and they still have one of the most advanced military systems on the planet. They actually have robot, AI, and drone military machines rolling around Israel on a regular basis. So it doesn't surprise me that they would sue somebody in a different country to make sure they follow their laws in Israel. It's almost a joke, but that's what these guys do in a lot of cases. First story I wanted to touch base on here is something with North Korea. I've had a lot of people kind of ask me this, what's going on with it. We've talked in detail on my kind of take on it, but we're starting to see things creep a little closer. So I want to give you a full picture of North Korea and what's going on over there and kind of have a full understanding of what we're trying to accomplish and the reasons why. I was a little troubled today as I saw an article that discussed a new massive ordnance penetrator bomb that basically the U.S. military and Air Force just released. If you guys remember last year, the U.S. military detonated the GBU-43, the MOAB, the Massive Ordnance Air Blast, dubbed the mother of all bombs, and they did this in Afghanistan last year. We saw the footage of the attack. It was the first time the 18,000-pound bomb had ever been used in battlefield. Very significant weapon. It's described by analysts as the largest non-nuclear weapon in the U.S. arsenal at the time. However, another colossal explosive called the GBU-57 now, the Massive Ordnance Penetrator, has trumped the MOAB now. They said the apocalyptic weapon, known as now the father of all bombs, is a 30,000-pound explosive heavier than two full-size African elephants combined. Now, amid simmering tensions on the North Korean peninsula, they're saying now, the Pentagon is now saying that GBU-57, the biggest one, the father of all bombs, is being readied for use against North Korea, stated Mr. Clare, a defense commentator. The secretary expert, Mr. Clare, considered the possibility that the U.S. military is planning to use the FOAB to destroy Kim Jong's cache of underground nuclear weapons. He said it's no secret that the Defense Department is preparing for possible preventive attacks on North Korean nuclear missile facilities, supposedly intended to prevent the Kim Jong regime from developing an intercontinental ballistic missile capable of delivering nuclear warheads to the continental United States. That's the big scare tactic they've been using for the last couple of years now. Basically, North Korea is going to develop a bomb. They're going to send it over to the United States and cause this massive issue. Is that possible? Sure, anything's possible. Is it probable? I don't think so. At the same time, on Wednesday, if you guys remember, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence stated that the White House is preparing to unveil the most aggressive sanctions ever levied against North Korea. This is last week. He said, I'm announcing today that the United States of America will soon unveil the toughest and most aggressive round of economic sanctions on North Korea ever. We will continue to isolate North Korea until it abandons its nuclear missile program once and for all. And now we have today them talking about releasing the MOAB, the SD-57 bomb on them. Now, what's interesting about this is that, again, North Korea is very unstable as far as the way it's run. The little guy with the funny hair that everybody always laughs at is, he's just a character. I don't agree with a lot of stuff they do over there. But one thing everybody has to continue to remember is that North Korea and Iran, the other boogeyman of the world, are the two last countries that don't have a central bank installed in them. Also, too, this is something we discussed before, but I wanted to pull it up to refresh everybody's memory, since this is a topic that nobody has talked about in mainstream media in 4 years. This article right here is 6 years old. This is from 2012 from Adam Taylor, writing for the Business Insider. He said, this is 6 years old now. It's a six-year-old article. He said, anyone following North Korean press may have noticed the country seems to be indulging in some sort of construction boom recently. The country's mountainous regions are thought to sit on around 200 different minerals, including a large number of rare earth minerals. The total worth of these deposits is estimated to be worth more than $6 trillion. Fast forward 2 years now to Zachary Keck, 2014. Another article is released. A UK-based private equity firm has now found the largest rare earth oxide deposits in the world in North Korea. The British firm SRE Minerals Limited announced the results of its assessment of North Korea's deposits last month. Most notably, the company said that it estimates the deposits hold 216 million tons of rare earth oxides, including gold, diamonds, and platinum, which includes light rare earth elements, heavy rare earth elements, and total rare earth elements. They said the significant obstacles remains is removing them from the ground. The challenge now will be mining these and shipping them to foreign markets. The SRE Minerals also revealed that it has formed a joint venture with state-owned Korea Natural Resources Trading Corporation to bring these to market. The joint venture, which is being called the Pacific Century Rare Earth Mineral Limited, will be based out of the British Virgin Islands, likely as an effort on the SRE Minerals in part to avoid sanctions. Now, here's what you have to start looking at and putting the dots together. They're now estimating that North Korea has more than $6 trillion dollars worth of rare minerals that they're sitting on. They have a very hard time mining them because they don't have the advanced equipment to do so. On top of that, they are fully sanctioned from the entire world from doing business with anybody. If you do business with North Korea, you basically get the chopping block, and the United States bars anybody from doing business with you. Now, does anybody else find this slightly ironic that for the last 8 years now, 6 years essentially, we've had articles about North Korea literally sitting on the largest rare earth oxide deposits in the entire world, valued at over $6 trillion. At the same time, the sanctions against this country have increased exponentially. Now we're talking about essentially doing a bunker buster bomb on them, on their entire nuclear missile program, so they have zero military capability to defend themselves from an invasion whatsoever. I just thought I was going to throw that out there today. Started putting some of this stuff together in the pieces. We've talked about it before. I had no idea they're estimating more than $6 trillion worth of mineral deposits in that country. But now you start looking at this from an outside perspective, it makes it a little bit more clear why we continue to make North Korea the boogeyman that's trying to attack America, that we need to basically ensue with a strike, an offensive strike first, and sanction them essentially into an economic depression so they cannot sell anything, do anything, and eventually when they try to defend themselves, we bomb them and say they're the boogeyman. Just thought I'd throw that out there today, Dad.
We broke this story 3 years ago. We both did research on it. We just wanted to talk about why North Korea was being picked on like this. I have a friend of mine, a very brilliant man, probably one of the smartest people I've ever met, and he says the gold that's being used and being basically taken from the planet is being used for interdimensional transfer. What does that mean? So apparently he says that spaceships that go into interdimensional conduits have to have, kind of like you see on Star Wars, right? The spaceships that do this and move that way have to use gold, and the gold is destroyed in the process, and so they need increasingly larger amounts of this particular mineral for fuel and to get to the interdimensional conduits. Now, whether that's true or not, I have absolutely no idea. I'm just telling you what he said. In fact, I think Austin heard him say the same thing. They had a conversation with him and me, Austin. Now, what's interesting about all of this stuff is that, you know, it seems as though for some reason, for the millennia that people have been here, that gold has been really important to somebody. And quite frankly, I really don't understand why it was so important to human beings who were trying to find, you know, something to eat every day. It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, but all of a sudden, the gold is starting to be really, you know, really, really talked about a lot. And again, we went into Iraq, you know, and now we want to go into Iran, and we're probably going to Venezuela, and it's always about seizing assets. That's what it's all about. That's what they do. And it's a, you know, it's the rape of these third world countries, the complete seizure, the economic hitmen that go in and give them loans they can never pay back and basically use their assets as collateral. So yeah, good story, Austin. By the way, Syria, again, is being accused of another gas attack, a chemical attack.
Oh, gosh.
And without evidence or logic, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations says the new chemical attack against Syrian citizens were done by Syrian government. This is so stupid because it's so untrue. Because what's happening, you know, Russia is winning this war in Syria, so they've got to scale it up again. 3 weeks ago, the Trump administration agreed to help thousands of U.S. troops in Syria, and as if on cue, a new chemical attack against Syrian citizens has been blamed on Syrian President Assad, which I can guarantee you he did not do this. This is a repeat of similar events in the past, all of which turned out to be false flag operations by anti-Assad rebels, Mossad, not the Syrian government. Predictably, the U.S. ambassador to the UN, Nikki Haley, is blaming Assad and calling for war before an independent investigation can even be conducted. Again, nothing's changed in Washington as far as this is concerned. The Zionists are still in control. Remember, Syria borders Israel. It is highly suspicious that the medics at the scene of the sporty gas attack are white helmets who were linked to the Al-Qaeda and have previously been exposed, staging fake attacks and providing actors to play the role of the victims again. And so we have this going on, and it's continuing to go on, and it never seems to want to end. Israel also has launched an attack on Syria after unverified gas attacks. Gosh, guys, you can't even make this stuff up. Israel has been bombing Syria for years, which nobody wants to talk about except for our show, in an effort to provoke war. And they target a city near Damascus that is said to have been the research facility related to chemical weapons. Israel's assault falls on the heels of allegations of a chemical attack on Syrian citizens 3 weeks ago. In the pursuit of regime change in Syria, Israel has given covert support to Al-Qaeda, linked groups through the Mossad. This latest attack is part of what has developed as an open state of war between Israel, Syria, and Syria's Iranian allied forces. Guys, we are the only show that talks about this. Nobody else. I listen to these other shows. You know, occasionally, well, now I have to, I'll back that out. Doug and Joe talk about it. Dave Hodges talks about it. Sheila talks about it. We talk about it. And that's about it from what I hear. These guys are absolutely bent on bringing in the tribulation. That's their whole goal here. And, you know, they've got Christians convinced they're going to get raptured out. And quite frankly, if we get raptured out, that'll be wonderful. If we don't get raptured out, that's going to really be the pits. And quite frankly, we don't need World War III to envelop the planet and have the book and the seals of Revelation being open, especially if we have children and grandchildren running around, because it's going to be a really negative experience for everybody. And so it's just these groups of people, this is what they do. What do you think, Oz?
You're absolutely right. I mean, it's pretty crazy because we constantly twist the narrative. What these guys have done now is they've used the news, they've used the media, they've used this fake rhetoric, essentially. There was real rhetoric, but it's fake news that they're twisting and contorting to basically make us believe what they want us to believe. And it's so crazy to me because you see this more and more. I saw an article today, and you guys know I'm a big fan of Ron Paul. I really like him a lot. I even like his son, Rand Paul. He's very conservative. However, I was really disappointed with an article I saw today. He brought up basically, he wrote an article, Senator Rand Paul, about should we have a military parade in Washington, D.C.? You want to say the last military parade in Washington was in 1991 after our first Iraq war. Okay. So he goes on and starts talking about the stuff, and he goes, I'm not against a victory celebration, so I propose we declare victory in Afghanistan and bring our 14,000 troops home and hold a victory parade. I'm like, okay, this is going somewhere. I want to see where this is basically going to go. I really want to see if he's going to touch base on, you know exactly what I'm talking about, with the CIA and the poppy fields and the 10,000 metric tons of opium that we're producing there now. And it completely fizzles out. He goes on to say, we defeated the enemy in Afghanistan. We killed and captured the terrorists. We just don't know how to appreciate a good thing. A big part of our foreign policy failures is not knowing when and how to declare a victory. So why not a parade? Bring the troops home and declare a victory that should have been declared years ago. The only reason victory is elusive in Afghanistan is that if presidents continue to have an impossible definition of victory, we spend about $50 billion a year in Afghanistan, same amount of money that we give to Israel and foreign aid. Just thought I'd add that in there. He didn't say that. I did. So by all means, a parade, yes, as long as it's a victory parade heralding the end to America's longest war. Now, he makes a very valid point as far as bring our troops home from Afghanistan. The problem is he still doesn't touch base on why we're in Afghanistan. Nobody will talk about this. For some reason, this is like the giant, big, fat, pink elephant in the room, and it drives me up the wall. There's multiple articles. You can even Google this. Literally, I don't even like Google. I use other search engines like DuckDuckGo and stuff, but you can even Google opiate production in Afghanistan, and you will literally get dozens and dozens of articles about how the growth of opium production in Afghanistan almost doubles every year. Went from 4,600 metric tons in 2016 to 10,000 metric tons in 2017. At the same time, we brought in another 4,000 or 5,000 troops to Afghanistan, but nobody wants to discuss that. Whatever, he's right. If I don't have a problem with a military parade, honestly, all it really does is create more military industrial complex motivation. That's all it really does. But if they want to do that, I really don't care. However, bring our troops back and get them out of Afghanistan. The only reason we are there is to protect our investment with the CIA and the drug operations all around the world, which in my opinion probably leaves an excess of over $1 trillion by the time you break this down to the street market value of over 10,000 metric tons of opiate and all the other compounds that they can transfer through Afghanistan because of the military bases there. Great article as far as him saying what he did and wanted to bring the troops back. Bad, bad article in the fact that he will not address why we're still in Afghanistan and simply basically blames the presidents as not having the ability to see when we've won a war and we've had victory and we need to bring them back. No, call it for what it is. The CIA operations will not let us bring the troops home because they run the deep state and the entire back end of the government is controlled by the deep state. Let's call it for what it is, Dad, and let's get the troops back home and get out of all these countries so we can continue to thrive as America and not waste all this money slinging dope all around the country and all the world, man.
$1.5 trillion a year. Last year, Russia Today came out with it. They came out with a great article. In fact, we reported on the article when it came out. I just pulled it back up again. And the article's called, "It's the Opium, Stupid. Afghan Surge Guarantees CIA Black Ops Budget Boost." I mean, this is straight calling it out from Russia Today. The CIA is also overjoyed because its Black Ops budget, which is tied to the exponential growth of opium production in Afghanistan, is now secured possibly for the 20 to 50 years, claims Mike Rattle, co-editor of the online site BS News. The announcement of the U.S. strategy in Afghanistan comes as Donald Trump shakes up his inner circle. Chief strategist Steve Bannon is given the latest to head for the exit. The U.S. military said that in a matter of days, additional U.S. troops could be deployed to Afghanistan following Trump's speech on the new strategy for the reason. And Russia Day asks, what do you make of Trump's expanding military intervention in Afghanistan? And he goes, Mike Rattle says, obviously there is no end, and that suits the neocon generals perfectly well. These are also the Zionists. I added that. His policy flip-flop, maybe this is the tradition of all U.S. presidents. Go back to Carter in 79. They all have intervened and interfered in the running of Afghanistan, whether it be illegally or covertly or overtly, whether it is full-fledged intervention, military attack, or arming jihadist groups like the Mujahideen. So it is no surprise to me the neocons and the military-industrial establishment are overjoyed about this because it means that their baby, the war in Afghanistan, that unwinnable 16-year war in Afghanistan will continue, and it may continue for decades. The CIA is also overjoyed because of its black ops budget, which is tied, obviously, to the exponential growth in production of heroin in Afghanistan, which is fueling the heroin epidemic across the West that is now secured for another 20 to 50 years. He has jumped straight back into the swamp, far from clearing it. He has jumped into the swamp. The people can now see his true colors if they couldn't already see after the indiscriminate bombing of Syria here recently. So, I mean, it's just unbelievable to me that this is so in everybody's face and nobody wants to deal with it. I remember Jerome Corsi and Steve Penichek and a whole bunch of these other guys. They were on these different shows like Alex Jones, and they don't touch the Afghan heroin issue ever. Even if they're on other shows, they don't talk about it. See, Penichuk, you know, he was with the CIA, and he won't touch it. And I remember Alex did bring it up to him one time, and he quickly changed the topic and just quit talking about it. Just said, blah, 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 change the subject, you know. And I'm like, whoa, how'd that just happen? Guys, it's the Afghan heroin. That's why we're there. It's the rare earth metals and gold in Korea while we're going there. It's going to be the oil in Venezuela, why we will eventually go into there. And remember, we got Syria with a non-central bank. We've got Libya that has a central bank now. We have North Korea without a central bank, Iran without a central bank. And there's probably about a dozen or so other smaller countries that are of no significance to the globalists that don't have a central bank, several, you know, basically banana republics, which they don't really care about, that they probably already own anyhow because of their economic hitmen they've sent in and seizing the assets and the resources of those countries. I mean, it's unbelievable to me, though, guys, that we, again, the Operation Gladio book, you got to read it, the unholy alliance between the CIA, the Mafia, and the Vatican. That book alone, if nothing else, will open your eyes. If you read that book, read Pawns in the Game by William Guy Carr, read his unfinished book by William Guy Carr, read Red Cloud in America by William Guy Carr, and read Topper Sassy, The Rulers of Evil. You get all these books for free online. Topper Sassy, Rulers of Evil. You can read that book, and you get those books. Just read those four or five books and watch the video from JFK to 9/11. It's a rich man's trick. If you have anybody who's curious about what's going on, let them watch that. And if they're curious about 9/11, just have them watch 9/11 Mysteries. 9/11 Mysteries. And just watch it. It's like an hour and a half long. Those videos right there will open everybody's minds to what's going on. And then if you really want to get your attention, please have them watch the G. Edward Griffin's video, What in the World Are They Spraying, when it comes to chemtrails. And now you've got somebody who's totally awake going, what the heck? I mean, how come I didn't know any of this stuff? And guys, that is what it is. So it's the Afghan heroin is what this guy says, and I totally agree with him. Awesome. And what's your next story, bud?
exactly right. Well, and other weird news as far as with the government and the military, DARPA now has just released a new program called ECHO. This is pretty strange one here. It's a new, this is from DARPA, the Pentagon's DARPA, a new epigenetic characterization and observation program that has the ability to check your epigenetic markers. ECHO will be a handheld device that can provide anyone access to your personal epigenetic signatures in under 30 minutes. They said someone's epigenome and identifying signatures that indicate whether that person in his or her lifetime has been exposed to materials that could be associated with weapons of mass destruction. This is how they're trying to spin this whole thing here. They said the epigenome is biology's record keeper. The ECHO technology would make it possible to deploy an analytical capability to vastly more locations. We would enhance our ability to conduct global, near real-time surveillance of emerging threats. The ability to partially reconstruct an individual's history through analysis of epigenome, however, could have an application well beyond national security and thus raises privacy concerns. Accordingly, DARPA supposedly intends to proactively engage with several independent ethical and legal experts to help inform the agency's research plans, think through potential issues, and foster broader dialogue in the scientific community on social implications. This is literally going to be a handheld device that will look at your entire epigenetic signature that you have and can literally tell every single thing you've ever been exposed to, and including that, it can turn around and replicate that if it needs to do so. This is some creepy stuff they're starting to release to the mainstream population as far as letting us know that they're using this now. Of course, they're using it under the ploy that they'll be able to scan people and tell if you've ever been exposed to plutonium or uranium or other compounds used in weapons of mass destruction. But as you guys know, that is complete and total hogwash. This is more identifying biometric systems that they will use to monitor, watch, and control the entire population. When this stuff goes mainstream and they can start handing it out to local military, local police, and any other people essentially they want to as of the highest bidder per the Pentagon and DARPA's request. So this is some crazy stuff that I just saw today, Dad, that they're starting to release now.
Okay. Let me explain something to you. You know, the Rothschild Group boys and the Sabbateans and the Druids and the sickos over there in Europe were the ones who were running the slave trade in the United States and globally back in the, this is even before the Rothschilds were here, same group of people, the 15th, 16th, 17th, 1800s. This is the Synagogue of Satan doing this, lest I not tell you who it was, Synagogue of Satan. And they were running the slave trade out of England and into the United States. And they had a problem. They had a real problem with slaves. They got loose. They couldn't find them. And they'd see a crack in the wall, and yeehaw, they're over the wall and out. And they couldn't track their asset. Because remember, we're a commodity to these guys. We're cattle, sheep, to be slaughtered, to be used, to be basically treated like animals. They call us goyim, is what they call us. And that's what we are to them. And their Talmud and their other books, their Zohar, it's very clear about how we all have to be basically extinguished. Now, just thought I'd mention that as a little footnote. You guys can look it up yourself. Now, what's interesting about this is they had to find a way to tag us because they had to give us a slave tracker. Now, our iPhone's a pretty good slave tracker, you know, and our Android's a pretty good slave tracker because we keep them with us pretty much. But we can drop those phones. We can say, I've had it with a slave tracker, and I can throw it in the pool or throw it in the lake or throw it in the river or throw it in the ocean or just drop on it and stomp on it, and they no longer have a slave tracker. But if they can identify us, which they have now, with these biomarkers and with this smart dust, and they've tagged us all now, and they've hooked it into our central nervous system, so they've activated their piezoelectric crystals that we've inhaled, now they have the ability to send out a read-write unit from our bodies, and now guess what? Their little echo can read the read-write signals. This is where this is going. Austin's exactly right. This is all about Big Brother knowing where and who you are every second of every day. This is what the quantum computers are all about, of linking up and knowing what you're doing and what you're saying, so they'll be easier to track the slaves and the people who they're controlling on the planet, which they consider to be disposable assets. that they're trying to cull right now because there's too many of us. That's the bottom line in all of this stuff. How sick it all is, that's what they want to do. And the sad part about it is that a lot of Christians buy echoes, they buy this stuff, they continue to, they'll take the implants, they'll take the mark of the beast. They won't even think about it. They won't even think twice about it. Oh, it'd be fun. I don't have to worry about carrying keys with me anymore. I can walk around everywhere. Doors open automatically. Cars start automatically. Everything works great. I'll have an implant. You know, I'll take the mark. It doesn't make any difference. Because they'll be assured by their pastors in the pulpit, oh, this isn't what the Bible talks about with the mark of the beast. This is not what this is. I know you can't buy or sell without it, and I know the Bible says that, but that's not what it means. You know better than that. I'm your Zionist pastor. Don't worry about any of this stuff. Before any of this stuff ever happens, you're going to get raptured. It's just not going to happen to you. Before this seal breaks open and before the Antichrist takes over and starts to rule and reign and causing hell on earth, it doesn't matter. You won't be here. This isn't the mark. Go ahead and take it. It'll be fun. Your cars will start. The elevators will work. Everything will be easy if you do it this way. Isn't that always the role of the synagogue of Satan? Remember Jesus said in the book of John, your father's Lucifer. And he's a liar from the beginning. He's still a liar. You guys are a bunch of liars. He goes, all you guys do is basically rob, kill, steal, destroy, lie. And see, this is what their mantra is they're serving their father, the devil. That's who these guys are. That's who they've always been. This is who they were back with the Druids. This is who they were back in Egypt. This is who they were back in the, you know, back in Babylon. This is who they were back with Nimrod. Same group of people all coming in from the technology and the information given to them through the fallen angels all the way through. This is the same group of people that have kept humanity imprisoned since the creation of the world when Lucifer decided to hoodwink Eve, sweet talker, and taking a bite from that fruit. Whatever that metaphor means, maybe it was a real piece of fruit, I have no idea. But all I know is this, it changed everything. And here's the thing, guys, it's one of those things that we have to remember that we're here and we're saved by the Most High God through His Son, Yeshua, and that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. Why? Because they have no authority over you, if you're listening to this show and you're saved, or me. Because we're saved by the blood of the Lamb, and we're connected to God through the Holy Spirit, through an interdimensional interface, into God. Because remember, we're up sending units, we're sending, receiving antennae, we're biological living antennae is what we are through our DNA, and we basically interact interdimensionally with our DNA with the Most High. So guys, that's who we are as Christians. It's a pretty important thing that you understand that. And so we have to understand that Austin's right, avoid all of this technology. By the way, some good news here. California judge rules that the baker in California is not required to bake a lesbian wedding cake. Finally, a judge has some verstand, which means some common sense. Bakersfield judge David Lamp ruled against enforcing Kathy Milner, owner of Tastries Basie, to bake a cake for a lesbian couple because it would violate her First Amendment right. However, he said that if the couple wanted to buy an already made cake, Miller would be required to sell it to them to comply with the state's anti-discrimination law. A California court has ruled that a Christian baker cannot be forced to bake this cake. Kern County Supervisor Superior Court Judge David Lampy ruled Monday that it would have been impermissible for Kathy Miller, who operates a Tastries Bakery in Bakersfield, to refuse to sell a cake, but she did not have to make a lesbian cake because it would have been an impermissible form of coercion, he ruled. A wedding cake, even one without an inscription, is an artistic expression by the person making it, Kern County Superior Judge said, and a ruling denying a state agency's request to require the bakery owner, Kathy Miller, to comply with Florida's anti-discrimination law. So finally, a baker gets some victory with a judge in California. But between me and you, Austin, and I'm sure all the people listening right now, considering this is California, I am really surprised. Well done, Judge. Congratulations, California. You've actually got somebody out there with some sense. What do you think, son?
Heavily surprised. I am very much so. I mean, you would think it would be common sense that essentially you have the ability, and it, pretty much every business does, you have the right to refuse service. That's pretty much been a mantra. Now, you can't sit there and be like, you know, I'm not going to serve you because you're black or you're white or you're Hispanic, but if you're asking me to do something that I find morally reprehensible, like I do not want to build you a homosexual cake, I don't want to engage in that, and I'm not going to support that, there's nothing legally about that. And so for the courts to even rule in the homosexuals' favors to begin with, what happened to the couple incidents a couple of years ago, it set a really, really bad precedent. It really did. I mean, it was horrific because, as you see, these situations started to happen over and over and over again because these guys were all brazen. Now they go, oh, well, I'm going to go to these Christian bakeries, and I'm going to demand they bake me a gay cake. And if they don't do it, well, I'm going to sue them. I'm going to get $120,000 like the first case. I'm going to sue them. So they better give, you know, bake me a gay cake. This is ridiculous. Nobody's forced to do that. If you want to come in and conduct business, if you're gay and you want to come buy a cookie or you want to buy something, that's whatever. But you're going to sit there and be like, I want a custom cake that's blatantly homosexual. No, I don't want to do that. Sorry. Dude, that's your right to do so as a company, in my opinion. But other news as well, under surveillance news, I got another article. This is pretty crazy as well. Police in China are now using sunglasses equipped with full facial recognition technology in order to locate wanted suspects as the new templates have now rolled off the shelf. This is something that's been unprecedented and never been done before. They said this brand new tool given to officers in central China, Henan's province, has reportedly led to the arrest of more than 30 people since Thursday. Zhang Zhangyi, an employee with Henan's Department of Public Security, stated Tuesday that each suspect's face is run through a central database during their encounters with the police. The facial information captured by the glasses is then sent back to a database for comparison with the information of suspects on the wanted list. Zhang also revealed that the new technology works effectively with only one image, as opposed to previous tools that required multiple pictures from numerous angles. He said the facial recognition technology is also used alongside with China, with what China calls the world's largest camera surveillance network. The country currently has more than 170 million CCTV cameras, with an estimated 400 million more to come in the next 3 years. This is literally Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, globalist, perfect dream. This is their literal dream everywhere. They said, here's the part that I get. This part's creepy here. He goes on to say, and I quote, we can match every single face with an ID card and trace every single one of your movements back to at least 1 week in time. We can match your face with your car, match you with your relatives and people you're in touch with. We know exactly who you frequently meet. If that isn't creepy, the fact that he's brazenly saying that and bragging about it, if that's not creepy to you, you just have your head in the sand. When you start combining the technology I just talked about with DARPA, the technology that we're seeing on the Texas-Mexico border that I talked about this week, that the new camera software they're putting on the border can literally see into a moving vehicle through windshield tint and accurately get 96% of the time correct every occupant in the vehicle with facial recognition software, and the fact that China is now having their police walk around with glasses that have full facial recognition software. Guys, they're building a database. They're building a giant surveillance police state around us, and we don't even see it happening. And in most cases, we're actually embracing it all under the guise of security and protection from the mean, bad boogeyman terrorist. What happened in the old Western days? Everybody had guns. Somebody tried to rob you. You got a gunfight. Probably not the best scenario that ensued, but again, it's better than dealing with this garbage now, having cops run around with facial recognition softwares, having almost 400 million closed-circuit televisions in China within the next 2 years, having facial recognition software on the border now that is not specific to to immigrants or to U.S. citizens. It's capturing every single person that's coming into the U.S. now. This is what's going on around us. This is why I was so stinking adamant about getting rid of the Florida red light cameras here in Florida. They have pulled a ton of them down in Central Florida now after a company called the Ticket Clinic basically sued Florida, sued local law enforcement, and sued the private security company that installed these. Most people don't realize this, that when they first put, at least in Florida, when they first put the red light cameras up here in the state of Florida, they were not run by local police or local sheriff's department or local state troopers. Quite the opposite. They were installed and completely operated by a private security contracting firm. That private security firm then turned, and we later found out after the ticket clinic filed suit, they were only giving, in most cases, 25 to 30% of the ticket, basically fines, back to the county and the city after they processed them. Meaning if this was a $100 ticket that they charged you with, they only gave the city or the county back $25 to $30. The ticket clinic basically found that they violated Florida constitutional law, because in Florida constitutional law, any citation that is written has to be overseen by local law enforcement. The first ticket cameras that came out were not even being viewed by local law enforcement. They were literally coming out of the printer, going into the mail, and sending them straight to your house. If you didn't pay them after like 6 months, they'd actually issue a warrant for your arrest. And then they went to say, well, they're not point tickets, meaning they're not going to get 3 points. You just pay the fine, of course, because it had nothing to do with preventing fatalities, decreasing accidents, or helping to provide better security for the local citizens. It was all about generating revenue. They then found that the private security firm in Florida had made over $30 million in the last 2 years off illegal police or red light cameras that they were doing here, and a lot of places out of Highway 27, out of Winter Haven, they've all come down now because it was not cost effective enough to have this crap up for 25% of the revenue. And in some cases now down in Miami and other places, they've actually banned these from being installed again and won't even use them. There's other places that have still capitulated and worked around the law and have still installed them, but they were single-handedly one of the most unbelievably unconstitutional pieces of surveillance footage that was ever installed on our private roads. It had nothing to do with preventing fatalities or collisions. That was a complete and total lie. It was all about putting more cameras up that they can monitor everything you do, building a database of driver's licenses and plates going through, and in turn being able to generate more revenue unconstitutionally by giving you tickets. They actually found in most intersections, collisions went up after the first year of red light cameras because people were so scared to get another ticket, they would slam their brakes at the first sight of a yellow light. That's why a lot of other cities have brought them down. But that pretty much just my rant of these right now. This is what's going on with the surveillance cameras. This is what they're trying to do, Dad.
This is all about what the Bible talks about. I mean, the Bible talks about in the end times what's going to happen. I'm going to read you some scripture. I don't have a chance to usually do this on the show, and I should take more time to do this. I want to read you Revelation 2:8. This is the church in Smyrna. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, and who died and came to life again. Of course, we're talking about Yeshua. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are not rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews, but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put you in prison and test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. Now, here's another verse I want you to read. This is very direct in the book of John. The children of the devil. This is John 8:42. These are words from the New International Version. The King James says the same thing, basically. You can read them any version you want. This is why I talk about this beginning. At the very beginning, this started with this Luciferian worship, all the way back to the Druids, all the way back through the Roman days, all the way back through to all the way to Nimrod, all the way back to the fallen angels. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am now here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning. There we go. That started in the very beginning with Cain killing Abel right there. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason that you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Now, he's talking again about the synagogue of Satan right here. This group of people that were secretly worshipers of Moloch. These guys would go out in their spare time, these rulers, these people that were in the synagogue of Satan, and they would give sacrifice in the high places to the Asherah poles and to Moloch and all these other different things. A lot of this was brought in by Solomon. I could do a whole Bible study with you on this. And when the Bible talks about giving worship in these high places in the Old Testament, it's all satanic worship. And these guys were still riddled with this because a lot of them had taken this stuff into their bodies, into their minds, when they were basically captive in Egypt, and it never got out of them. That's why so many of them died, you know, after the Ten Commandments were given, when they still built a golden idol and they worshiped it. That's why he says, the ones who do this, who practice this, who do not believe who Christ is, he goes, these people who live like this, their father is Lucifer, who is a liar and the father of lies. This is the synagogue of Satan. This is the Rothschild banking cartel. This is the Sabbatean Kabbalist network. This is the Druids. This is all of this group, all the way back to Nimrod, all the way back to the garden. And Jesus points it out right here in these two verses, Austin. What do you think, and what's your next story?
That's pretty wild, but no, you're exactly right. That's exactly what they have done now with this. And I mean, it's continued to go. It's never ended. I mean, that's the issue. And a lot of people, you know, and even myself when I was younger, I always found it so strange, you know, in the Old Testament when they were going through and God would basically command them, you know, when you go in here and you conquer these guys, you kill every living thing there. You kill every man, woman, child, animal, period. Do not take any living thing with you. And I was always, when I was younger, I was like, golly, that's, you know, I mean, I got it, what they're trying to do here, but man, that is really, really intense. I mean, just literally wipe them off the face of the planet. They are not to exist after you go through, is basically what he said. But is what makes sense when you start doing this research on it, the reason why God was so adamant of that is because everything they did was steeped in Satanism and worshiping Lucifer.
Right.
That was the problem. Everything, from the animals to the children. The children were used to basically seeing the sacrifices or helping in them or being involved in them. The women, the right. Everything, the animals. And so when God came through, he goes, dude, these guys, you don't understand. We can't have any of these guys floating around. When you go in there, you have to wipe them out. And you see what happened, you know, and reason why when you start reading stuff basically with Solomon and other aspects of it, when he started taking these foreign wives and they were basically involved in these satanic rituals and they completely compromised his relationship with God. And that's why he was so adamant about it. So yeah, it's a really, really good, article on that, Dad, the way you explained it. But that was always my issue when I was younger, when I read that. I could never understand why God was so basically, essentially in my eyes, violent with that. I was like, golly, that's just rough. But when you do the research and you get older, you realize the reason why. Also, too, speaking of other wild people, a liberal journalist now and podcaster declared in a Twitter exchange yesterday that professors should drown conservative students instead of just grading them harshly. This was crazy. Jesse Farr, who's a former contributor for Deadspin and Vice, made the comment in response to a tweet from a conservative activist, Charlie Kirk, calling attention to the anti-conservative bias in college classrooms. Conservative activist Charlie Kirk said, "I get countless messages from students who say professors are lowering their grades and penalizing them for being conservative. Leftists dominating higher education represent a grave threat to our country and culture," he added. "Conservative students should not be targeted for disagreeing." Then this guy goes on there, the individual, basically Jesse Farr, I mean, full-blown liberal leftist. This is a response to that. He goes, "You're right. They shouldn't do that. It's not right. They should hold the conservative student's head underwater until they stop breathing." I can't even make this up. Charlie Kirk, the conservative, then comes back and says, basically, "I'm sure he is joking, but imagine if conservatives made a joke like that against liberals." Farrar responded in caps, "I am not joking." this is crazy to me how we have this entire leftist group now that spew this violent, unbelievably violent filth on a regular basis to anybody that doesn't agree with them. And then as soon as we even make a comment like, well, I don't agree with your transgender lifestyle and using the bathroom with my child. I don't agree with that. You know, that's your choice, but I don't agree with it. Oh my gosh, you can't say that to me. You're an absolute neo-Nazi racist. No, I'm not. We're not even talking about that. That's not even relevant. Yes, you are. I'm calling the cops on you. I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm just disagreeing with you. But yet, these guys spew this rhetoric on Twitter, and everybody just goes, oh, that's just liberal ideology. They're just being liberals. It's fine. It boggles my mind, Dad, that this guy comes out on Twitter and says basically conservative students should have the professors basically hold their head underwater until they stop breathing, and then blatantly puts down, I am not joking, after the next response, just to reiterate the fact of what a weird, sadistic, leftist individual he is. I just was shocked when I read that today.
This is our university systems and almost all the professors, yeah. And they get away with it. Yes, it has at a local college, registering your youngest sister to start classes, and there was a big thing, a big bunch of papers laying on the desk of the college, and there was a real nice black girl behind the counter, real nice, real sweet, and the paper basically was celebrating Black History Month and what the importance of black love and a whole bunch of other things about black this, black this, black this, and black this. And finally, I looked at her, and I just looked at her, and I said, this is really nice that you're celebrating Black History Month. I said, but how would you feel, and I took the paper, and I turned it over, and I showed it to her, how would you feel if it said we're celebrating White History Month, and we're going to talk about white love this month? How would it make you feel? And she looked at me, and she goes, I don't know. I've never thought about that. And I said, well, you know, maybe people need to start thinking about that. I said, why do we have to include color and stuff? Why can't it just be, you know, Human History Month? Okay. Why can't it just be History Month? I mean, why does that be Black History Month or White History Month or Hispanic History Month or whatever? Why do we have to do this? Why do we have to constantly put race into it? Because all that does is create problems. Because all we want to do then is say, well, what's wrong with my race? My race isn't being listed as the History Month. So it's something that we all need to think through. By the way, change topics. Oxygen is disappearing from the world's oceans at an alarming, rapid pace. Now you think, well, what in the world's happening with that? Well, that's a problem, because here's the problem. Phytoplankton produces 50% of the world's oxygen, the whole planet's oxygen, and phytoplankton is dying. And we have a major reason for that, and it's called Fukushima. And Fukushima basically kills everything that's non-discriminatory, and the animals eat the phytoplankton, they get radioactive, and so forth and so on, and so we have an entire animal extinction-level event in the Pacific Ocean because of the continuing spewing of radioactive water and isotopes into the ocean from Fukushima. So we've got a major problem here with the Earth now learning, and we've learned the last 20 years, oxygen levels have continued to fall on the planet because of our deforestation, because of our phytoplankton. But phytoplankton is by far the primary source of oxygen in the planet, and it keeps the seawater oxygenated, and it also is part of the hydrological rain cycle. So guys, it's really, really important to understand that Fukushima is a horrible, horrible event that needs to be corrected. And I mean, quite frankly, I just started pumping concrete into that thing years ago and been done with it. I'd had so much concrete covered out of it. That whole doggone part of Japan had been covered with tuma concrete if I'd been made. But Austin, they've had 7 years to pump. And they could have pumped enough to start with to stop the radiation leak, which they put more crews in there. That's what they did with Chernobyl. Chernobyl's got pumped full of concrete. That's what they did with it. Guys, I want to thank you for listening to the show. We've had a good week of shows. God bless you guys. I love you. Last 3 weeks, our shows have been just off the charts. Thank you so much for all the positive feedback and emails. I love you guys. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. I appreciate you so much. I prayed for you again this morning. You guys are just awesome. You guys are the best. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for getting our supplements. We have the highest quality supplements in the world. I had another guy, my guy who did some body work on one of my cars here a few weeks ago. I went in to see him. His name's Charlie. Sick as a dog. Said, I've been sick for 3 months. I feel absolutely awful. I said, dude, why are you so sick? He goes, I don't know, man. I can't get over this. I can't shake. I'm coughing and hacking. My head's all stopped up. I said, hang on a second, dude. So I drove all the way back to the office, drove all the way back to the body shop, which, by the way, is like a 15-minute drive one way. And I gave him supplements, and I said, here, take these. He said, well, we'll take it off your bill. I said, that's fine, whatever you want to do. So I gave him the supplements, and I called him back, and I said, take them exactly like I'm telling you. Take the multiple, take the potassium iodine, take the D3K2. That's it. That's all I gave him, three products. said, take this. I said, you'll feel so much better in 1 week. You won't be sick anymore. And I also gave him a bottle of immune support. And I called him up a week later. He goes, dude, what'd you give me? I said, oh, I told you. And he said, I've been taking it. He goes, I'm better. I feel great. Saw him yesterday, Austin. I didn't even tell you this. And I met him over there with Sharon. And he told me, he goes, Ted, I can't even tell you how much energy I feel and how good I feel. I've never taken vitamins that actually work. These are amazing. I'm going to keep taking them. I said, well, keep taking them, and you'll stay healthy. Guys, that's the kind of results we get with our supplements. And thank you for supporting us and buying your stuff and your vitamins from us and your distillers from us and everything else. You guys are the bomb. I love you so much, and I appreciate you too. I enjoyed doing the show this week. We'll be back again with you on Monday. I'll do the write-up, Austin. Go ahead and finish up. Love you guys. Talk to you Monday. Bye.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate it. Also, too, speaking of distillers, if you guys noticed, the 8800 model, we're actually going to be discontinuing that with WaterWise, with our partnership with them, and coming out with a new model that's actually going to be a little bit smaller, more user-friendly as far as the size and bulk. That was one of our original models that was it's a great model, works great. We'll still be servicing them. WaterWise will still be servicing them, doing warranty, anything like that. But we're actually going to be coming out with a new one here shortly. So about a few people asked me where the 8800 is on the website, the reason why it's down. We're basically reworking this new one that's going to be coming out. And it's going to be a really good machine, all brand new kind of stuff. The same bases, though, as far as the stainless steel internals, no aluminum, no BPA, everything like that. So it's going to be a great one. So be sure to check out for that as well. Also, too, check out the product of the week. If you guys haven't seen it yet, it's the Serenex Stress Control on sale for over 10% off right now, along with multiple other products that you can get on sale in our Health Masters kits and specials, including the Maximum Energy Kit, the Alpha Male Stack, a lot of good stuff that we have on the website. And be sure to check out that new formula that we put together called the Attention Factor. Really, really good product. I've been using it some on and off. Really helps as far as with focus on working out and training, and it seems to actually help a little bit with reducing muscle fatigue, allowing your endurance to kind of push further through the workout. So be sure to check that out on the website as well under Attention Factor. If you guys need anything, you know where to get a hold of us, healthmasters.com, 1-800-726-1834. We're always here Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. The phones are usually always busy. We try to pick up. You always get a live person here. We don't have robots or automated messages at all during the day while we're open. So be sure to give us a call if you need anything at all. You guys have an awesome, safe, blessed night. Have an awesome weekend. Great weekend. Enjoy yourselves. And we'll be back with you Monday as always.